I was told there would be no math today, but now here I'm thinking about how many cases and six packs do you need to make 100 bottles of beer on the wall?
You got to start with 99. So someone's got to drink that first.
If a case has 24, then you need four cases, and that's almost 100.
Right.
So what do you like? Shy 2-4. So you're eight shy. So you need four cases and 1 8 pack.
Okay.
To make 100, and I know they make some 8 packs now. I haven't been drinking well this year, really, since the second of this year. But I do know they make 8 packs of like the pounders, the 16-ounce cans.
I want to say your math is still wrong.
Okay, help us out. Who's good at math here, Richie? I'm looking at you.
96, and then you would need a 4-pack.
Blondie over here is like,
nope, I've tapped out long ago.
Do you have a calculator on your computer?
24, 48, 72, 96, and then a 4-pack.
Oh, and then a 4-pack. Yeah. There you go. Look at you.
Woo.
Look at the big brain on you. Yeah. Way to go, Richie Rich. I was told there would be no math. It is the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. Captain's Log, Stardate 01232022. For those of you keeping track, playing the home game.
Richie was right.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I followed his logic, and thank you for
I just wanted to fact check you guys. Yeah.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For...
That's right, Nikki the fact checker.
Thank you, Blue Check Mark. We'll call her. She's wearing sort of blue on her hoodie, at least. So,
Is it blue or is it green? Depends on where
you're looking. Oh, is it one of those like Genera hypercolor things from like 1984?
It's aqua.
Most people are only going to see the white.
Do you guys, I'm old, so like I remember that. Does this ring a bell to either of you where you'd like wear the thing and the color of the garment would change color depending on your body heat?
No.
Yeah.
That's
like
cool.
A mood ring that you wear?
Yeah.
Like the new BMW?
Mood clothing, or at least temperature sensitive clothing. Okay. It was really stupid to me because, well, everybody's armpits were darker.
Right? Oh, yeah, and that's just not a good look.
Anyway, you are listening to Free Talk Live. We are a live call-in radio program, in case you're wondering what you're listening to. The telephone number, if you want to join in the conversation tonight, is 603-283-6160.
The numbers you can trust.
603-283-6160. In the studio, it is myself, the Lord Reverend Doctor, soon-to-be Ambassador Captain Kickass.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
You're wondering about the ambassador thing, aren't you?
I know about it.
Okay. You've
told me I won't, privately.
I won't. Yeah. It's not quite official yet, so. You know.
I just want diplomatic immunity. How do I get that?
I do, too.
That's the thing.
You know, like,
whatever it takes to get me diplomatic immunity.
I don't know that this particular ambassadorship, comes packaged complete with diplomatic immunity. It's not quite a government ambassadorship.
I would take a 50% pay cut to get diplomatic immunity everywhere.
I would give up one of the many titles that preface Captain Kick for diplomatic immunity. I mean, I'm willing to make an ultimate sacrifice here. I give up
which one
I'd go doctor.
Okay. Yeah,
because first of all, the doctor was honorary. a caller gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm in the medical profession. I hereby grant you doctorship. Oh, okay, thanks.
I don't think it works like that. Maybe for Dr. Dre. Oh, okay.
If kings and queens can be like, you're a knight.
Okay.
Medical profession give you. Honorary doctorates are given out to, like, people who've, like, accomplished things in life, but they didn't go to college for. Okay. Like, you get an honorary doctorate because you made an impact in this particular field of something like
that. That's how it should be. You
know? What would your doctorate be in, then? Kicking ass? You kicked so much ass.
No.
I now dub the Dr. Kickass.
Congratulations.
A lot of people equate the kickass portion of my name to like kicking ass as in being violent and fighting, and that's not what it actually means. It's about being the best version of yourself, kicking ass at being me. Right? I'm the captain of myself. I must kick ass at being the captain of myself because I only have myself to blame if I don't. Right, it's about self-ownership and that kind
of thing.
It's like
some yoga philosophy over there. I see you.
It's philosophy for sure. Yeah. You know, I have never done yoga, and I probably never will. My body don't bend like that.
Well, you already have, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, well, okay. I won't cop to it. I do like yoga pants, though. They are comfortable.
Me too.
On certain people.
They're not comfortable to look at in some people, but, you know, yeah, whatever.
Maybe if they changed colors, I might be more attracted to them on certain people.
So, what, we've barely gotten through the intros now? Is that where we're at in the show?
We banter a lot. I don't know if you've noticed.
We do. I mean, it's a radio show. We're supposed to talk, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, talk radio? Be kind of boring if we just sat here like...
We're just killing time until you call in.
At 603-283-6160. Actually, we titled the show Nano Nads, and this is why, Nikki.
New male contraceptive could shrink your nads with nanoparticles.
Nano Nads. It just sounds to me like you're going in for a laser surgery to shrink your junk.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
But tell us what's really... Can you read that headline again? Because it's a lot to take in.
No, it's not. It's very nano.
New male contraceptive could shrink your nads with nanoparticles.
It's less to take in than it used to be.
So it's a contraceptive designed to prevent pregnancy. So in order to do that, they want to shrink your nads.
Kind of.
Can't you just do steroids like the athletes do?
But that doesn't make you infertile.
Oh.
Well, it can.
And it makes you strong.
That's up for debate. So there are plenty of contraceptive methods available for women, but men's options are woefully limited.
Yep.
You can either use condoms, which doesn't suit those allergic to latex, or you can get a vasectomy, which stops you from having babies for good, which is actually false because you can reverse a vasectomy, but the reversal doesn't always work. So I wouldn't recommend getting one unless you really like don't want to have kids forever.
And in case the article doesn't mention it, there are some extreme people who go to abstinence.
Oh, yeah, but that, no.
I'm just saying. It's one of the ways.
Catholics.
Lame. Yeah, the fertility awareness method. But that's, again, going back to the woman and when she's ovulating. So yeah. I guess that doesn't really count for male contraceptives. To remedy the situation, researchers are investigating all kinds of alternatives, like the warm water testicle bath we covered a few months ago. And I did look into the warm water testicle bath.
We did a bit about that here on the show or two ago. It's this little device.
Yeah.
It was the first time they were offering it. You could get it on like Amazon or whatever. And it's literally what it says it is.
Yep,
it's
it looks
a little
exactly
tub.
What you would think it would look like.
It's like a little hot tub for your jimmies.
And we didn't get a sponsorship deal out of this.
I can't control Mark at freetalklive.com. If you're out there and you represent the testicle bath, then you know you want to advertise with us. Mark at freetalklive.
So a study from July 2021 found out that nano contraception could be worth pursuing as a human contraceptive. The method relies on nanoparticles, tiny pieces of metal that are only a thousandth of the width of a human hair in diameter. And spoiler alert. If you've been vaccinated against COVID-19, you've probably already gotten the nanoparticle male contraceptive. So,
Wait, what?
I'm only half joking, but you know how there's all those like conspiracy theories about the nanoparticles and the vaccine and how everybody's becoming infertile.
But the COVID vaccine is supposed to shrink your nads?
No, it doesn't shrink them, but people are talking about the nanoparticles.
Okay,
so.
All right.
There was a story that it shrunk something.
I mean, I have not gotten the COVID vaccine. I'm one of the few, the pure bloods or whatever folks are referring to themselves as. I've been vaccinated against all the other stuff, of course. As a child, my parents sent me all that crap, and there was a...
Against my will.
There was a place that I went, I don't want to give it any airtime, but I went, it was a government type of thing, and I was required to get whatever wasn't on my medical records, which was a bunch because, well, I predate computers having your medical records in them, so they're like, well, we can't find your records, we're just going to give you all of them.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, thanks.
You might have tuberculosis.
I did have a reaction to the TB shot, but it was just a little surface reaction on the arm, and I'm guessing it's because they gave me all of the stuff.
Yeah, sometimes if you get vaccinated against it and then they do the testing, it'll show up. So
603-283-6160. Would you consider taking a contraceptive that gave you nanonads? I don't know. This is kind of a weird one.
Still thinking about it?
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. It's the live Sunday night edition. Yeah! Come on and tune in to the Sunday night edition, that's tonight, of Free Talk Live. We've got some calls. There's a couple lines open if you want to join us in the conversation tonight. The telephone number you need is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Talking about...
Nano-nads.
I still don't quite
say it.
Understand the premise here. It's some sort of contraception.
New male contraceptive could shrink your nads with nanoparticles.
Like, some men are very proud of the size of their nads, for example. So,
is it something to be proud of?
Well, I don't
know. You don't really get the pick, man.
But it's also our slanguage, if you will. Human slanguage is filled with all of that stuff, right? Like,
Okay. Like
if somebody does something courageous or that kind of a thing, we see it a lot of times in the liberty community. Somebody standing up to some armed thugs with badges and guns, right? Wow, that guy's got balls. He's got big balls, kind of a thing. So, wow, nads on him, man, standing, that kind of a thing. So the euphemisms work their way into our language. I don't personally know anybody going around that my nads are bigger than everybody else's, but AC/DC wrote a song about it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's a classic.
So,
classic.
And they got around all the censorship by saying, no, we're talking about the
dance.
It was
ballroom dancing. Yeah.
Yes. Talk about the dancing. So we'll come back to the nano nads, but first let's go to Bad Slave calling from New Hampshire. Bad Slave.
I've been a lot of people that are.
I'm sorry?
Big 7-0.
Bad Slave, you're on the air.
You are caller number 14.
Hey, Bad Slave.
If you would like to turn a call back, please press 1 now.
I have no issues.
It sounds like he's on another line. We'll come back. Let's go to the unscreened caller from the 843 area code.
Oh, snap.
Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Thank you. You were talking about having a diplomatic immunity. All you have to do, if you want diplomatic immunity, just get a job with the United States State Department, and you should be able to get that pretty much automatically.
Gross.
Now it feels disgusting.
Not worth it.
Oh. I'm sorry, what's your name, caller?
I'd probably get double my pay.
Hang on. I'm trying to ask the caller. What's your name?
My name's Robert.
Hey, Robert.
You could also get it with a foreign country. For example, if your forefathers came from the Federal Republic of Germany, in 1913, the German law was that if your father was a German...
Near as I could tell, I've only had one father.
Not four of them?
Yeah.
Well, I have two because I have a stepfather, and of course I also...
That's more common.
Yeah, no, if you're talking legally, then I actually do have four fathers.
Yeah, four fathers. Okay, well, you have four grandparents and 8 great-grands and 16 great-grands.
No, I mean because of my broken childhood and adoption and, from family to family, et cetera, I actually have 4 people that legally at some point in my life could be referred to as my father.
What a downer.
Well, the thing is, in according to the law of 1913 in Germany, if your father was German at the time you were born, you could apply and get German citizenship. They changed that law in 1975 to include the mother as well. And once you have that citizenship, they'll give it to you right away, by the way. As soon as you provide the documentation, they give you a certificate of citizenship. Then they'll give you a personal Ausweis, which they issue within 6 weeks, and a passport, which they issue within 12 weeks. And then if you want a diplomatic immunity, you apply to get a job as a diplomat for the Federal Republic of Germany, and then you have it.
Ew, gross. Why would I work for the government?
To get the diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, but I mean, if
that's like a free pass to do bad things.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Robert. What's the movie that I'm thinking of where, like, it's probably an 80s, 90s movie?
I think that trope was used a lot in the
diplomatic
movies.
Immunity. It's like the German, I think he was German or something.
Okay.
I think it was a Lethal Weapon?
It may have
one
been.
One of the Lethal Weapons?
That sounds about right.
Because I think it was Murtaugh and Riggs. Wow, I can't believe I'm pulling that out of the memory bank. That hurt.
I think you're
deep,
right.
Deep into the depths of Captain's memories.
There was physical pain pulling out Murtaugh and Riggs from the old memory bank.
I remember when Lethal Weapon 4 came out in the theaters, we were like going to go to the drive-in.
Yeah.
And see it. And because I don't like watching movies out of order, we had to immediately run to Blockbuster and rent all three of the first Lethal Weapons so I could watch them before we went to the movies that night and get caught up on them.
Power through them.
Luckily, we had like the TV in the van and the VCR.
Hey, let's see if Bad Slave is paying attention to us now instead of something else. Bad Slave, you're on.
Oh, that's the highway. That's the...
No.
Sounds
like he's not.
Can you get it half pepperoni and half mushroom, please, Bad Slave?
Drop him. No. Drop him, then he'll call back and wonder why we hung up on him.
And then he can
listen back to the archives and realize.
Leave him on hold for a while.
Okay. I'll
keep checking back in on him. He's
such a nice guy, Kevin.
See if he gets the pizza that I ordered.
Okay. Get a Diet Dr. Pepper, no ice.
I like Dr. Pepper, by the way.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, yeah. I don't like soda, but if I were to drink a soda, it would be Dr. Pepper, I think.
I recently discovered something called Dr. Pepper Zero, which is zero sugar. It's not Diet Dr. Pepper.
Does it
Pepper.
Have aspartame in it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, no, you've lost me.
It's like horrible for you, but it's delicious.
So apparently Moxie's a very New England thing. And it's sold out everywhere.
Well, Moxie, I don't know what you're talking
that
about.
That is a throwback to my childhood. You just ripped that out of the deep depths of
my
memory.
I've been to like eight supermarkets and I can't really? Find it. We
yeah,
ended up at like the Christmas
it's a soda.
Tree shop.
It tastes awful. It's so gross.
I like it.
But that was what my grandma used to drink. Huh. Moxie.
So I've
sold
never
out
heard
everywhere.
Of that.
Yep.
Never heard of that.
I've got,
you're not a local, that's why.
Yeah. It was handed
to
me.
Jeez.
It was handed to me. It was presented to me like this. They put it down in front of me and they said, "Drink this." And I went, "What am I drinking?" They're like, "Don't worry about it. Just drink it." I go, "Like, I don't drink alcohol, so this is an alcoholic beverage. Like, please don't."
Yeah.
They go, "It's not. Just drink it." So I drank it. I'm like, "Oh, good. Like, I'm okay. What was the holdup?" And then it was explained to me that it was a terrible New England drink that's only available here.
Huh.
In this parts of the country, but now not even that. Just nowhere has.
Is it terrible?
So
then?
Okay, so
I enjoy
it. This is the deal with Moxie. It's
okay.
Like black licorice, right? You either love it or you hate
it. Oh, it tastes like black.
No, it doesn't taste like licorice, but it's like that type of concept.
Okay,
like you either love it or you hate it. It's like the Grateful Dead. You either love them or you hate them,
or you think they're okay.
Well, that kind of just disproved my theory, but never mind.
I'm not a fan, but I respect them.
Yeah. I was just trying to quote Jerry.
Moxie. So did you guys ever do anything where like somebody's lost their Moxie? And you're like, no, it's right here.
No, I just I bought a case a couple of months ago and then took it to the local, new mover party here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm just going to be that guy. I'm just going to be the guy that brings them. And then they've been sold out for like the past 3 months.
Hmm.
Can't find it. Christmas Tree Shop had like bottles of it. So now I got a 4-pack of bottles at home.
Did it get consumed at the party? Did like folks were.
As soon as I set
item?
It on the table, one dude like ran up. He's like, oh, dude, you brought Moxie. And he was very excited. I'm like, okay, good. Like,
aggressive party goers. Nice.
I know.
Yeah. Well, when you bring the right beverage to a party,
right.
It can make the difference between just sort of a party and a party.
I was surprised at how popular it actually was at that particular.
Well, Richie Rich, I am glad that you found your Moxie.
Got
after losing it, and now it's sold out, so you can never have it again, apparently, or until the distribution system sort of works out whatever
the supply
problems
chain
are.
Issue.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. Have you ever mixed Moxie with an alcohol? If so, what's the right kind? More Free Talk Live is on the way.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Meow, 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 meow. Gotta get the cats in there.
Meow, 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 meow.
Don't even start.
Oh, man.
Because I had a headline that you would not believe.
You did? Where did it go? Was it Moxie?
No, it wasn't Moxie.
Did you lose it?
It was...
Did you lose your Moxie?
Elementary school teacher fired because she wouldn't respond in meows to a student who self-identified as a cat.
Oh, and I saw something as a follow-on to that. I don't know if it's true or not, but like... Apparently, I don't know if it's satire or not, but the headline read that this school where this is going on, they've now put litter boxes in the bathrooms for those students
who
identify as felines.
That's so funny. When I was like 3 years old, I was a cat. For realsies, identified as a cat. Only in the home, though. My parents wouldn't let me identify as a cat like at school or anything.
Are some good parents.
But, meow?
Yeah. Meow.
But meow. But meow, I don't self-identify as a cat.
Yep. Bitcoin.com, however, does not identify as a cat, but it is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin, by the way, on sale, like half off thereabouts. You can go to Bitcoin.com right now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you're going to find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There's no longer any excuse to ignore this important world-changing information. If you're already a knowledgeable crypto user, you can check out news.bitcoin.com and get the latest headlines of all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a very slick and easy-to-use website. Visit bitcoin.com. Hey, let's check in with Bad Slave, see if he's ordered my pizza for me yet. Bad Slave? Did you order my pizza?
But I've been an anti.
You give him way too many chances. He's talking to another radio show.
I've been alive. I had an experience.
Are you cheating on us?
He's cheating on us.
Let's see if he says anything relevant. And then, what happened?
In an early kindergarten in Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
They almost killed me.
Ohio.
The Drew Carey show. Poor pop references coming up on Free Talk Live.
Cleveland anymore. She's in Hartford, Connecticut. West Hartford, Connecticut.
Is he talking to his family or something?
He's going to drop a word that we're not going to allow to air. Because he doesn't know he's on the air. He's been known
70
to do that.
In a couple of years.
Well, at least we know his character speaks at the same like pace and
okay,
you know, all that kind of thing, because he's talking to somebody else and his character hasn't changed at all.
He hasn't said you know all that much
they
yet,
both
though.
Have a spouse.
You know?
But he does do the,
I did hear him say anti-authoritarian, though, so he's consistent, at least.
Yeah, we'll put him back on hold. Maybe if it continues to go on like that, we do hang up on him, and then when he calls back, you're like, dude, we gave you like a whole segment.
Listen to the archives.
Sorry, bro. Only one call a night.
Yeah. So we did put you on the air. You said words. They were broadcast. So, I mean,
this is Free Talk Live.
You know, 603-283-6160 if you want to join us.
An anti-authoritarian and clean.
Kindergartner.
All right. Let's get into more about
nanonads.
And so it's a contraception option
for men.
So, in theory, it could be possible. Yeah, true. So, I think you might need male parts for this one, but
blasphemy.
I don't want to be transphobic or anything, but
you're so anti-science already.
I know, already. In theory, it could be possible to introduce nanoparticles into the body of a human male. Once inside, doctors could then use a magnet to guide the particles into the testicles.
I've done this at school with like a magnet underneath the desk and something on top of the desk, and you like, oh, look, it's ghosts.
Man. I was thinking of that old magnet toy where you got to make the dude's hair and make a mustache out of
him. Oh, yeah.
Just drag it on down.
Isn't that how an Etch-A-Sketch works?
Yeah, the two little magnets. And the nanoparticles. Magnet
okay.
Once in the gonads, doctors would then carefully heat up the nanoparticles.
We have to giggle at gonads. I'm sorry. It's just...
They're microwaving the metal.
She said balls.
Gonads.
Well, she said gonads.
That's even worse. That's more giddy.
So the doctors would then carefully heat up the nanoparticles. Sperm viability plunges in high temperatures, so heating up your testicles could essentially neutralize your little swimmers.
And that's why I get into the tub very gently.
Wait, so then what? Okay, I have questions about the hot tub that we talked about for your.
Yeah,
for your
would you jimmies. Like me to go to that one?
Well, no.
I have that one up
finish,
as well.
Let's finish with this one. This is the one you brought. We did a whole show about the hot tub for your boys. Not a whole show, but
so,
a segment.
So what was your,
anyway.
What was your
boys?
Question
boys?
About it?
Well, it's about heating them up.
Don't assume my gender.
It was about heating them up, right? Because if you're gonna put your boys in a hot tub of sorts,
yeah.
You're heating
so
them up.
So I guess
up,
that's
so.
The warm, like they have to be warm. But this, so the hot tub thing, you only do it like every couple of months.
Oh, so the hot tub thing is more like taking your car through the car wash, whereas this is like supposed to, okay, I got you.
I'm not, well, it seems to not be permanent because in the beginning of the article, they were saying that the downside to the vasectomy is that it's permanent. So I'm assuming that since they mentioned that, this wouldn't be permanent, but I just don't understand.
If they don't understand that vasectomies can be reversed, so we believe anything else they have to say?
This is from Audie, so.
Take that as a no.
You know. It's on the internet. We should believe it.
But apparently, nano contraception isn't exactly a new idea. It was first tested on animals already back in 2013.
By Dr. Fauci.
I was going to say, nano contraception. I mean, I'm pretty sure they have contraception for, like, little people.
What is it?
Is that not the same thing?
It's like that Dr. Seuss book with like the little tiny people that live on the flowers. What is that called?
I don't know. Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Ham.
Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah, Horton Hears a Who. That's it.
That's why condom companies don't sell small, because no one would buy them.
Yeah.
You got large, extra large, and Magnum. But if you're buying the large, you know what size you're really
Do they sell extra medium?
No.
I've been bringing this up a lot.
It's extra medium?
Extra medium, yeah, okay. Because there is, like, it can't exist. Like, if you look at it in the pizza scale, there's, you know, small, medium, large, right? Those are the normal size of pizzas.
Okay.
But then extra small isn't one bigger than small, it's one smaller than small, but extra large is one bigger than large.
Okay. So an extra medium is just a more precise circumference?
What's extra medium?
A more precise circumference?
Is it taller? It's the same, you know, diameter, circumference.
Okay. To me, extra medium would just be medium.
Maybe it's the thin crust versus the deep dish.
Can't be extra medium. I posit.
Okay.
For your philosophical debate that extra medium is impossible.
The science is settled. There's no such thing as extra medium.
You've heard it here on Free Talk Live.
Don't even call in and debate us on this. The science is settled.
Where were we?
Goneads. Mice.
So to test the procedure, they injected gold nanotubes directly into the mice's testicles. Yes, we know. Having gold injected into your balls doesn't exactly sound very pleasant.
It sounds like...
But bear with us.
It sounds like
Wait
thuggish,
a minute.
Though, right?
Like, that's where you sold me, if you're going to inject gold.
Golden balls? Right. Oh my gosh.
That's better than having a brass pair.
Gold nads, not gonads.
I know.
It sounds very, you know, I don't want to say thugged, but like, you know, like the dudes who get like a gold tooth and you know, that kind of thing. Like, I've gotten golden nads.
Don't assume my culture or appropriate my culture.
We digress.
Once the gold particles were in the mouse testicles, the researchers used infrared radiation to warm them up. This just sounds like you're going to get testicular cancer, honestly. Like, do you want prostate cancer? Because this is how you get prostate cancer.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I guess.
It gets worse. As a result, the nanoparticles are heated up to a temperature between 98 and 113 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot.
Yeah, gonna say no here to... Ouch.
That's, but I want the gold.
I don't want them branded. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. We're back?
We are back.
We're not front?
I mean, you can be front if you want to.
What about side?
Christian side hugs are all the rage.
Can we be side?
You can be beside yourself.
We have returned, I believe, is what you're getting at.
Yes.
So there was a bit where we weren't here, and now we're here again.
Because we're back!
603-283-6160 is the number if you'd like to join us.
That would probably be my catchphrase.
We're back.
Stalin.
And we're back.
Yep. Totally my thing.
I wanted to tell you that we, as in Free Talk Live, are raising funds for GiveDirectly, the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. They locate recipients in need and use mobile money to send them cash, no strings attached. In the past decade, they've delivered $400 million to over 1 million people. Research shows that giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, such as employment, nutrition, health, and education. In addition, cash allows individuals to invest in what they need instead of relying on aid organizations and donors or governments thousands of miles away to choose for them. Isn't this what you would prefer if you were in need? Free Talk Live is also matching your donations to GiveDirectly, helping families in Bomé and Kilifi counties in Kenya who are desperately in need. Free Talk Live is matching your donations up to $30,000. So if you're feeling generous, head over to give.freetalklive.com and help these areas plagued by drought, floods, and food insecurity. There may not be a better way to help families in Kenya. Give.freetalklive.com. Again, give.freetalklive.com. Let's check in on Bad Slave, see if he's ordered my pizza yet.
Bad Slave, raise good questions. You know, we
did he forget that he called in to Free Talk Live?
He must have. I'm starting to get a little jealous. Like, he talks to other people. Yeah. Is he on another radio show?
The Democrats and the progressives.
He must be.
That aren't progressive at all.
Those darn progressives.
These people are all just completely deluded.
I mean, he's preaching facts, though.
Hopefully he's calling his New Hampshire representative to push for the New Hampshire secession bill.
And they're pointing their fingers at the Trump voters.
That part was as good as any other Free Talk Live call.
Yeah. Probably a little more succinct and coherent. At least for him, anyway. You know, I just wondered, like, can he hear us while we're I assume he has us on speakerphone.
Probably put us on mute, though, or turn the volume down. I don't know. Right, because when you think he'd be able to hear us?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would think that he would be able to hear us.
Did he conference us into that call?
I don't think so.
He has two phones? Who has two phones?
Maybe he's talking to a real person.
I have two phones, but. Oh. Well, I have two methods of making phone calls.
Oh. Okay.
I have this. I've worked in telephony for some time. This is voice over IP type stuff for like enterprises, businesses, stuff like that. So as a result, I have one for personal use. That is, it's a phone number that it's not attached to a device.
Okay.
Right. It's just kind of out there. I can log into it from like wherever. Make and receive, like any computer or whatever, as long as it's got like a headset or whatever, I can log into the thing and like make calls, and it's pretty neat.
You can take phone calls on your computer?
Yeah, weird, huh? Yeah. I know. It's so futuristic. Tech's only been around for like 30 years. Okay, maybe. Yeah, I think it's been around for 30 years. It's only been really useful for like the past 25 or so.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, it used to be all telephone conversations would travel over copper wire.
Sure.
Right. In a completely analog fashion. And then something called fiber came along and, you know, you heard all like, this is like during the long distance wars back in the day. And, you know, you can hear a pin drop and you can make a long distance call for only 10 cents. And now long distance doesn't even matter. But it was right around then when they were replacing all the copper with fiber nationwide. And so now there's this network that carries all the voice traffic digitally instead of over copper wire. So all the copper's gone. It's been replaced with fiber. But that means you get a better experience, a more clear calling experience. In fact, I've said this before on the show, that it made them invent something called a comfort tone, because the digital experience of a phone call is so, the call quality is so great that when nobody's talking, human beings will be like, are you there?
Oh,
can you hear?
Because they don't hear the little a little hiss in the background that exists over copper wire that does not exist over fiber. So they invented this thing, and so when it detects that there's no voice, no speaking, it plays this little in the background constantly so that you know that the line is still connected mentally.
I remember in college getting like one of those digital phone programs on my computer.
Yeah.
So I could call home for free instead of paying for long distance at the from the dorps.
Yeah. It's
similar idea.
Similar to like a Vonage or something like that.
I had Vonage.
And these are like the entry level versions of like what I have. So it's, you know, it's
I had Vonage up until I made the move to New Hampshire.
It would be like a lot of folks still use like Google Voice and stuff like that. So
that's definitely still useful.
It's kind of like that. So
yeah.
I've digressed yet again, of course. So where were we with the golden
gonads?
Nanonads.
Oh,
let's see. So we left off at them heating the gold up to 98 to 113 degrees Fahrenheit.
He who has the golden scrot.
Makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it.
Yeah. Sounds like hot yoga.
No, it sounds nothing like that.
The room is like 105 degrees.
If you want to do yoga in a, you know, I mean, okay. Anyway, go on.
But there was an unfortunate side effect to the treatment. You don't say. I never could have seen that coming.
Wait, for our listeners tuning in, we're talking about a form of contraception for men where what? Just
here,
a recap.
Quick recap.
Nanoparticles.
Nanoparticles injected.
New male contraception could shrink your nads with nanoparticles. So they inject you with nanoparticles, and then they use a magnet to bring them down to your balls, and then they heat them up, and then you can't get anybody pregnant, allegedly.
What they do is they send your nads into the quantum realm. Until you don't need him anymore.
Maybe that's what happened to Bad Slave. Maybe he's in a different universe talking to Free Talk Live, and we're just eavesdropping on it.
He's on tomorrow's call? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
No, he's on today's call, just in a different universe.
Oh, okay.
Right? He's in the universe with the Berenstain Bears.
Okay.
Not the Berenstain Bears. Okay. Yes.
Timeline splitting.
And Betty White is still alive.
Yeah. Getting deep here on Free Talk Live. So the unfortunate side effect of the treatment was the intense infrared radiation caused heat lesions on the mice's testicles.
Ooh.
Having your balls burned would probably keep you from procreating.
You think?
Don't say.
Huh.
But that's not really what the scientists were going for, so they returned to the drawing board.
I told you, this is totally a Fauci experiment.
Basically.
What happens if we burn the nuts of mice? Let's find out.
In 2021, Sun's team released the results of their new and improved contraceptive methods. This time, instead of using gold tubes, they opted for particles made out of iron oxide.
So now you have rusty balls.
Exactly.
Rusty, burnt, branded, magnetized. Who thinks of these things?
Scientists.
Also,
researchers on government grants.
I'm uncomfortable with the science.
Basically,
this is going to make one of Rand Paul's list of wasted government spending.
You know what the issue was? So, like, all the feminists were mad because contraception always fell on the woman. But then when you think about it, it's like there's really only, like the article said, two options for male contraceptives.
Yep.
So this is all the feminists' fault.
But so speaking as a man.
Yes.
Right. The biggest deterrent from not using a contraceptive is 18 years of child support.
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. That's a bit of a hurdle.
Yep.
Yep. You know, it's something to think about.
That should be the only thing you're thinking about.
The only thing, though?
Fine. STIs.
I mean, it's real easy to prevent pregnancy, right? Don't have sex.
Oh, is the Catholic side coming out now?
I'm just saying.
Give me a Christian side hug.
Are you guys familiar with Garfunkel and Oates?
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
They have a song about the loophole. It's called The Loophole, yes. I believe. And so that exists. So there are ways to human beings, they have sex for fun, not necessarily just for procreation, unlike some creatures. Right? They do it for entertainment purposes. And so there are ways to entertain yourselves without actually doing the thing that makes you pregnant.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if you're not a fan of Garfunkel and Oates, go to your favorite search engine and look up Loophole. It's a super hilarious, funny song. These ladies are great. They do harmonies. They play. One plays a ukulele. The other plays a guitar.
They're not really Garfunkel and Oates, though, and that was a little disappointing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're disappointed.
Okay.
603-283-6160. Hour number two of Free Talk Live is on the way. It's a live Sunday night edition.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness. So you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
He stole my line. I'm supposed to say Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. That's how you get your voice on this nationally syndicated radio talk program that's also broadcast on the internet and some satellite places. And we're rebroadcast by a bunch of other folks on different things, different platforms, and all that kind of stuff. So,
are we going to go to our live on the scene correspondent?
Let's check in.
Make sure that individual rights are not part of the game going forward.
He wants to make sure individual rights are not part of the game moving forward. What do you guys think?
Bad slave.
Appreciate that he's like on point libertarian, like 100% of the time. I mean, this, like, not even just when he calls, like, this is just who he is. That's awesome. I love the consistency.
We have some other calls. Let's go to...
You don't like individual rights?
I love individual rights.
Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes, I just wanted to bring up, I remember going to Hoover Dam, and they always talk about this. They make electricity there. And
dam.
The water dam, right?
Damn right.
They should have big statues of beavers out front of that thing.
Damn.
Giant beaver statue.
Thing is, but my whole point is, I used to go there, and people are so amazed. I look at them, it's like, but how do they make electricity? They never explained to me how they do it.
Probably the water. Like the flowing of the water.
The water flows over turbines, and the turbines turn, and then they attach a couple of wires to it, and it produces positive and negative charge, and is then filtered into an electrical system.
Can we get a fact check on that,
Nikki? That's correct. But what is it exactly that they charge to make the electricity? Is that... What it is a piece of magnet that the turbine makes it go in and out. It's a magnet, one that goes through a coil of wire.
Yep.
So then, and it conducts electricity. So, I just think that they keep this a big secret. Only like engineering students are allowed to do this because they want to keep the people kind of stupid because they want you to rely on, petroleum gas they think that you have to do this when you could get a turbine from a windmill. You could get
windmill turbines.
That's correct.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you bring up this topic because just the other day, I'm doing dishes at my, we'll call it apartment, at my kitchen sink, and I do not have a garbage disposal. My house is pretty old and it didn't, have one originally built into it, and I haven't paid to have one put in or put one in myself. Whatever. I don't have one. And I started thinking about maybe I should get one, and then I started thinking about what a garbage disposal does. It just turns, and then I'm thinking about, well, water flows through my pipes. Why don't we put little tiny turbines inside of every pipe in every house? And then whenever you run water for any reason, it turns the turbines and charges up something and gives you some free electricity for some reason.
That's a great idea.
Ooh, Captain
that is a group.
Trademarked.
Okay, trademarked 1995, Captain Kickass.
Oh, you like to get a patent? I don't know how you do that. Maybe
no,
you
I, that's,
patent.
That's IP right there. I just put it out for the whole world. If anybody's listening and wants to make these turbines and put them in, I give you free use of that idea.
I'll buy one.
It's going to be the Chinese.
Well, the thing is that what I found out was that electricity in cars that powers the air conditioner is actually turned by a generator inside a car running off the axle.
Yeah, it's it's called the alternator. It actually runs off the belt or a belt, usually the serpentine belt in modern cars.
So in other words, your gasoline turns the axle anyways, so then they actually put a belt. And it just does a turbine thing again. It has
right.
a magnet going through the steel, a coil, a wire again.
Yeah, so most people think that the battery in a car is what powers all your stuff in your car, your lights, your heater, your air conditioner, your radio, all that stuff. No, it's not. The battery is just there to start the car.
Yeah.
Once the car is started, everything else is powered off of the alternator, which we've just described here, sir.
That's why when you jump a car, you're supposed to drive it for a little bit to charge up everything. And
oh man,
know.
I had a buddy that didn't do that with his motorcycle.
Yeah,
he turned it
good.
Off at me, and I'm like, dude, he's like, what, it started?
Yeah,
I'm like,
not,
it's not
it
gonna
again.
Start again.
So yeah, you are right, Sarah. They do kind of you know, it's knowledge that I did not learn in school. We did some science experiments surrounding electricity, but it was mostly like, here, plug a couple of leads into a potato,
yeah.
and can illuminate a light bulb.
You had the
that
nice
was a
teacher.
Fun one, though.
Our teacher had us hold the leads, feel it go through you.
I remember we did that with a frog.
I want to add that's exciting is that I want the electric bicycle with the generator right on the bike with the battery on the back. That's German technology.
Oh, yeah. I hated that. I had to pedal so fast to be able to see where I was going.
Modern e-bikes, though, are amazing. You don't even have to pedal.
Okay.
Right? You can be
dude my size
and like it'll bring you up a large hill.
What? No, this is to power the headlight. This is the wheel spinning generator to power the bicycle headlight.
Oh, for the headlight or whatever, right. Yeah. I got you. Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the generator, the coil is right on the part of the bike where you put the water. This is German technology, so the battery goes in the back so that it the bicycle goes. You have to cycle to generate for the first 15 miles, and after that, it just goes on its own.
You know what, Sarah? This has been a damn good call, no pun intended. Thanks for the call. Okay, the pun was intended. I'm sorry.
How could you do it to us, Captain?
Damn. What's the guy from Trailer Park Boys?
I don't know.
Ricky?
No. The J-Rock? Damn.
Yeah.
Right?
Damn,
no,
boy.
No, it's the other guy. We're like, damn, green eggs and ham.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wish I knew his name. It's been a minute since I've watched Trailer Park Boys, but it is truly a classic.
It's on my mind.
I actually... What is his name? The hamburger guy? Randy.
Mm.
I have a Gladstone flag with Randy on it that says Frig Off.
That's fantastic. Let's see. Let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, back in 2018, Mark Tippetts was running as a candidate, a libertarian candidate for governor of Texas.
Okay.
And 98% voted against him because, many of them didn't do their homework and they only go by what their TV spoon feeds them about the candidates. And maybe they don't want liberty to be defended with ballots. Anyway, this morning in Houston, Texas, a cop pulled a guy over, a cop that is a member of one of the police forces of the hostile government, an organized force on a mission to intimidate people into obeying a multitude of blatantly unjust laws. And the driver got out and blasted the cop away. So see what happens when you vote wrong.
Well, so I've been thinking about this because there's been some stuff going on here in New Hampshire where this radio talk show is broadcast from, where I live, where I think all of us here live.
Where the caller's from.
And, like... If you're going to attempt to do something using the ballot, right, that's sort of a libertarian cause or a libertarian thing, like it doesn't seem to ever work, right? The best that it can do, in my opinion, is just bring attention to the topic.
Sure.
It's never going to accomplish what you want it to accomplish, and that's because you're literally playing in the pool created by the statists.
Yes.
The statists create the pool in which you're trying to swim around and get your way, but they created the pool, so they could just change how much water's in the pool or not in the pool at any time and move you around to different parts of the pool where you may sink or swim, that kind of a thing. You're just not going to win because you're playing in a park that they created. And I don't think you can achieve liberty by swimming in the pool created by statists.
Right.
In Maryland, let me point this out, in Maryland, the slaves were eventually emancipated in 1864 by using ballots. There was a referendum. Meanwhile, in Virginia, the slaves were being emancipated by using bullets. Whatever works.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tom.
Liberty by any means necessary.
I mean, to me, the slaves freed themselves, and it was just like when the government couldn't handle it anymore, they're like, well, okay, I guess we'll pass a thing that says that the slaves are free now. Right? It was, the slaves freed themselves. Slaves freed themselves?
Bad slaves.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up. Welcome back to Free Talk Live, the live radio call-in talk program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about anything that is on your mind.
You don't even have to be talking to us. You can just be talking to somebody talking in the background.
And we may put you on the air.
Maybe.
You know.
Surprise!
It's been done before for like most of last hour. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Intercoin, well, we've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Well, now Intercoin has launched its own investor token worldwide, and for the first time, it's available on an exchange. You can create an account over at xmarkets.com, that's exmarkets.com, with just an email address so you can keep your privacy intact. You can then deposit dozens of different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether, and then buy ITR, that's the Intercoin Investor Token. Learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org. And now you can buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com, that's exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. Well, the phones are lit up. That means we have a bunch of calls. So we're going to...
Can we go to the real calls first? Okay.
No, first let's check in.
Okay.
Is Bad Slave, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, welcome.
Wow.
All right, hang on just a minute. All right, I've put him back on here.
Just checking in.
All right. Now, these guys have convinced me. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
For the fourth time tonight.
You've had multiple appearances.
My sister called and my friends called. It's my birthday. I'm 70 today. Oh.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
Thank you.
I'm glad I didn't hang up on you.
I wanted to call about my friend Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers was.
Sorry.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's like you know Captain America.
They're about the same age.
Captain as well. On occasion, you know.
All right. So but, what about him?
I think it was New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, passed away from the virus.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he was, I think he was like 50.
Okay.
Because he's 18 years younger than me. And he was overweight. And, you know, but he was a great guy. And he probably saved my life in prison. You know. Got me quickly into the hospital when I needed it.
Well, good on him.
Yeah. I'm so sad that he's gone. I think I didn't push him hard enough on the, you know, supplements to.
Well, you know, people. But when people change, they change because they want to change. No amount of pressure from their family and friends and all that thing is really going to make that much of a difference. Yeah. You might be able to continue to plant seeds, you know. And when somebody dies, it's natural, of course, for you to sort of reflect inward and, you know, well, what could I have done to maybe have prevented this? Is it my fault in some way? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. So,
do you think the virus has, like, spurred a lot of unhealthy people to start getting healthy, though? Like, oh, man, this might get me a few years from now. I better lose the weight and start eating better now just in case.
Not that I've seen, no.
No. In fact, I had it, and I probably dropped, I don't know, 10 pounds or something while I had it.
I definitely dropped about 10 pounds.
And then I was like, oh, sweet, I can just eat crap for a while and get these 10 pounds back on.
It came back really quickly.
It did, yeah, it's true.
Well, they've been threatening with type 2 diabetes for me all along here, and you know, and I've changed my diet, and as a result, I did lose some weight.
Oh, congratulations! Myself,
there you go.
You know, I need to do other things as well and get a little bit more activity into my life and
all right, well,
stuff like that.
You know, here's one. I'll pour one out, as it were, figuratively, for your friend Steve Rogers. Thanks for the call tonight, Bat Slave. Appreciate it. Steve Rogers, moment of silence. Okay, there we go.
Happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Bad Slave. Let's see, moving right along, I have to keep the order correct here because I wrote it down incorrectly because, well, I'm me. And, oh, that guy hung up and now there's somebody else. Okay, so let's go.
Just push the button.
Yeah, hang on.
Okay.
It's hard to find help nowadays, eh?
Yeah, Richard in New Mexico. Richard, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. We have several state offices here in New Mexico that are trying to get people to move to New Mexico. So I'm going to do everybody in this country a real big favor if they're thinking about moving to New Mexico, because as well as New Mexico being one of the lowest ranked states in the union for education, we also New Mexico has been rated the worst state for retirement. We're number two in the nation for violent crime. We're sixth highest in the nation in child abuse. And I'm sure we've, on past call-ins, talk radio shows, we've mentioned a few other bad things. And I'd also like to say, I've been involved with different city metro bus systems since 1969, and I have to rate Albuquerque Metro system as the worst bus system I've ever been on. I've made numerous complaints to the bus metro offices about the inconsistent times when buses arrive at different places and when they
leave. It's horrible.
Places.
Why haven't you moved?
I've been told it's up to the driver's discretion whether they want to leave on time or get to some place
Richard,
on time.
Richard, Richie Rich has a question for you because
letting me vent.
Yeah, hey, Richie Rich has a question for you because you just outlined a bunch of horrible things that New Mexico is leading the pack at, and then also the bus system. So, Richie Rich has a question for you.
Why haven't you moved? Like, if you're trying to advocate that people not move there because of how terrible it is, just move too.
Yes, I moved here because I've been a gambler for 45 years, and before the COVID virus hit,
I think you're looking for Nevada.
Nevada is a little too expensive, and Las Vegas is a little too hot. I first went to Las Vegas, Nevada, in 1962 and in 1978 because of my boss I had.
Hey, thanks for the call, Richard. You certainly sound like you know when to hold them.
Know when to fold them.
And know when to fold them. When to fold them.
Doesn't know when to walk away, though.
No, in fact, New Mexico, it sucks. I've been there. I don't ever want to go back. There was a reason that I thought I might have to go back. the other day. I'll see if I can remember it. 603-283-6160. More of your calls on the way.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. It's the Weed Eater Tractor Pulls. No, Weed Eater can't pull a tractor. What's wrong with you?
Weed Eater sponsor tractor pull. I like mud bugs.
Mud bugs. Are you, either of you familiar with a competition called the Tough Mudder?
No.
It's kind of like an obstacle course for like dudes who think they're tough.
Yes.
And you can like just go and join it.
The Spartan Challenge,
That sort of thing. A friend of mine did one, and he wore one of those like GoPro style cameras. He had the chest mount, so it was like from user perspective, and like the footage was amazing of him like, you know, getting down in the mud and crawling around and like, you know, leaping and bounding and swinging, you know, all that fun stuff that, you know, they do. Anyway.
I did a team one similar concept. I forget what it was called at this point, but similar concept. But it was, you know, going through like swamplands and whatever. And
yeah.
We did 2 years in a row, and then that was it.
The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. It looks like there's one phone line open at the moment. We've got calls on hold. We'll get to those in just a minute. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
And we are, I do want to talk about this, but we'll take the calls first. But the headline is, men are creating AI girlfriends, verbally abusing them, and bragging about it on Reddit. So I want to talk about
nerds.
That.
Degenerates.
And I'll preface this with I took a sort of a cross-country trip early fall this past year. I drove a couple days each way.
It's usually how you do cross-country trips.
Some people walk, some people bus, some people, you know, whatever,
bicycle.
Anyway, yeah, I drove
roller skate.
Yeah.
And I used I don't want to give it. I used Google Maps, right? I don't want to.
Boo.
Open Maps.
So anyway, it turns out that the lady voice doesn't have a name for this particular map app that I was using. So like Alexa is the, that's the Amazon one,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the
Siri?
Siri
for Apple,
is the Apple,
yeah.
Right? Turns out that the GMaps one doesn't have. So I just called her Karen.
Okay.
The whole time. And When she would pipe up, be like, okay, I already know, shut up, right? You know, she started annoying me, and I started, like, you know, sort of berating her, if you will.
I get reprimanded when I thank Alexa. Thank you, Alexa.
Now,
no.
Now, the surprising...
I'm referring to her as a she.
The surprising thing...
It's an it.
That's hilarious. The surprising thing about my road trip was when Karen popped up and was like, there's a speed trap up ahead. And I was like... Really?
Thank you, Karen.
You know, yeah. Like that's
that is valuable information.
Yeah.
I like Waze because you can switch
your
names.
They bought that.
Oh, did they?
And so now
it's
incorporated into it. Yeah. But I was like, no app has ever watched out for my well-being from road pirates before, right? And so it's Waze's technology, but now it's integrated into the mega corporations.
That's why I had to start using Waze, because I was commuting into Worcester and I kept getting speeding tickets. So I was like, I just better put my GPS on all the time. Yeah. And it works.
Yeah. All right. So at any rate, we've got some calls to get to. Let's go to Jill calling from Virginia. Jill, you're on Free Talk Live.
I heard what you said about the pool. I didn't catch the first part, but I don't know that this is exactly the subject you intended to discuss. But it made me think about public education, and when they want to teach things in school, this is the same way they do with control. There is going to be indoctrination on one side or the other as long as you have public education. It's unavoidable.
Yep.
And that's why one reason I'm against it and think it should be abolished.
Oh, absolutely. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I think all of us here agree with state-sponsored public schooling being abolished. I say state-sponsored because in the absence of an organization of violence known as government, there still could be something called public schools.
The void will be filled by the church.
You know, it's possible that there's some sort of an organization that's, you know, provides basic schooling for
Roman Catholics,
you know, those who can't afford it or something like that. And that would be great. What we're opposed to here on the show, at least, is, you know, the organization known as government, which is an organization of violence, indoctrinating folks.
Up to churches if they want to do it, and for secular organizations if they want to also.
Sure.
And if people say, well, there are too many poor people that can't be educated, well, let people who think like that pool their resources and start volunteer schools on their own then.
So I think my issue with public school is necessarily not only the government's corruption and that they're indoctrinating children, but also just that curriculum that everybody has to know the same curriculum, right? I think it is better if like churches break off and communities break off and kind of do more of the homeschooling method where you're taking kids out in nature and not only that, but just teaching them different concepts and skills through them actually doing them. You know, it's important to know math and reading and writing and everything, of course, but I just think sitting at a desk all day, no matter if it's the government sponsoring it or some other, you know, organization, I don't think that that's beneficial for children's growth.
It's important that they should be taught some kind of trade so they can make a living.
Absolutely, that too, yeah.
Well, that usually comes after the basic education, right? That's why they have trade schools and vocational schools.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looks like they could have them at the same time they're doing the basic.
Yeah, indeed. Well, also,
I don't know if I'd want to give a skill saw to a teenager or a preteen.
If they've been instructed properly on how to use it and show competency at it.
Okay. So, and the thing with children is, I think parents are so hands-off nowadays that they're not actually parenting their kids. And the whole point of children is to rise them up into adulthood, right? So you should be teaching the kids how to be mature. So you should be able to give a five-year-old a saw. And if you taught your child correctly from the time they were two, maybe five is a little young, but you know what I mean? Like a younger kid, something that could potentially be dangerous. If you parent them and teach them correctly, they should be able to handle that properly.
Oh,
I teach the young kids sometimes how to cook food, and isn't a stove rather dangerous if it's not done taught properly?
Absolutely.
And they seem to do it safely usually.
Well, and look at society and how we uphold young children with some sort of a talent who become some sort of virtuoso. We see this all the time. I see it in music frequently.
Prodigies.
It's always the oh, look at this 8-year-old prodigy who can, you know, solo like Eddie Van Halen or whatever, right? You know, so they're an amazing musician. Why? How did they get that way? Sure, they have talent, but they had to learn it. How did they learn it? They learned it of their own volition. They showed an interest in a subject matter. They were supported by people around them, probably their parents, who like was like, yeah, you want a guitar? Here, we'll get you a guitar. Here's some books. Here's a, you know, go to the library, get a tutor to teach you, you know, that kind of a thing. And this is how learning is done, right? You just extrapolate that and now expand upon it to the rest of the world. That's how learning is done. You don't need this rote memorization. You don't need rows of desks. You don't need a taskmaster at the front of the, you know, this is the Prussian system. The Prussian education system, which was imported to the United States, was designed specifically to teach people how to just turn the wheels and pull the levers in the factories in the shortest period of time. It was not designed to give them, quote, an education, unquote. It was designed to make obedient workers. Mm-hmm. Final thoughts, Jill?
Well, I just said, I just called to reiterate pretty much what I've said before, but I think you're very smart in the way you put it. And I think I think this what we need to do is to get the government out of it.
Couldn't agree more, Jill. Thanks for the call tonight. We appreciate you.
If you want like a conspiracy theory, right, the reason parents aren't able to do that for their kids is because they're forced to work so much.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a conspiracy theory.
Well, the government is, you know, debasing the currency, making everyone poor.
Yeah.
And then therefore you are compelled to turn your kids over to the state for an extra amount of time.
Add into there the ease at which folks get divorced. And I maintain that, government had a hand in making it easier. This no-fault divorce that came upon when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about it, but I look back on it now and I go, oh, this was to assist in splitting families up so that you had two people working that you could tax instead of just one in every family. 603-283-6160. Do you support the abolition of state-sponsored public schools? More Free Talk Live is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It is. And I'm whispering like this for no reason at all.
Why are you whispering?
Because if I talk like this, it might be too loud.
Because Amazon Alexa has a whisper mode. You can whisper to that thing, and she will whisper back. That's right. I said she.
It is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. We've got calls on hold. We'll get to those in just a minute. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Free Talk Live video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of that here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. As you know, YouTube has been taking folks down, specifically during their crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID. The Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. I would actually be surprised if it's still up. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, and so now we're streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you'd like to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help to seed and keep it online forever. Visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com. Okay, real quick before we go to the calls. Richie, you brought this in from fortune.com. Men are creating AI girlfriends, verbally abusing them, and bragging about it on Reddit. Now, I joked about naming the Maps voice, lady voice, Karen, and sort of berating her until I had to be thankful. But do you want to take this one?
Sure, I can read this. The friendship app Replica, with a K, was created to give users a virtual chatbot to socialize with, but how it's now being used has taken a darker turn. Some users are setting the relationship status with the chatbot as romantic partner and engaging in what real world would be described as domestic abuse, and some are bragging about it on online message board Reddit, as first reported by the tech-focused news site Futurism. For example, one Reddit user admitted that he alternated between being cruel and violent with his AI girlfriend, calling her a worthless whore, and pretending to hit her and pull her hair, and then returning to beg her for forgiveness.
So it sounds like the chatbot may have Stockholm syndrome.
I mean, it can't go anywhere anyway. They're a captive audience.
Yeah.
Sounds like nobody should ever date this guy.
That's why he's talking to a chatbot to begin with.
And also, like,
he's just on Reddit. He's probably a nice guy to begin with.
I mean, there's that. But also, just the fact that there is this chatbot that you can switch to a romantic setting is kind of really sad.
Okay.
Well, and let this be an illustration of the amount of potential abuse that exists within society today. It's out there. Most folks, you know, walk around, they're blissfully unaware of it, but it's hiding beneath the surface of society.
Here's a deeper conversation, if I may. Is it good that he has the chatbot to do this to, because it prevents him from taking it further into society and actually being abusive with another human being.
I would think that as part of, like, you know, a therapy program.
Okay.
Something like that to, like, you know, somebody identifies that they have abusive tendencies because maybe they were abused when they grew up, et cetera, and so on. And they were trying to, you know, better themselves and have better relationships. And this was part of the therapy that they were seeking. Sure. Why not? All right. Use any tool at your disposal to become a better person.
If it works. On the one hand, I think practicing these forms of abuse in private is bad for the mental health of the user and could potentially lead to abuse towards real humans. A Reddit user going by the name Glibjib said, on the other hand, I feel like letting some aggression or toxicity out on a chatbot is infinitely better than abusing a real human because it's a safe space where you can't cause any actual harm.
I just feel like if people are going to do that, that they're those type of people that are going to do that in real life. You know what I mean?
Okay. Perhaps.
Perhaps. However, this mentality is also taken into the realm of, like, video games.
Right. Right?
We saw that in the Kyle Rittenhouse case where he was like, you know you play Call of Duty. Is that why you wanted to go out into the real world and kill people? And it was obviously fallacious.
Yeah.
Right? Interacting with the video game and interacting with the human, clearly two different things. Right? And so does this type of behavior spur violent outbursts in real life?
Let's think about that for a little bit. Let's come back to that because we've got some callers that we have to get to. Let's
go. Dumb it down.
Let's go to Jimmy in Pennsylvania. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Chocolate sprinkles.
Hey, Captain. Hey, regarding that, I guess that sadist, I would say he should find another outlet for some of his energy. Like, a lot of people, I tell them, you need a hobby to just occupy your time and just to get that out of your system.
Isn't that the hobby, though?
Yeah, you don't think he should be on the Smack-A-Hoe chatbot?
No, I think that would actually leak over into reality.
Okay.
I think he might actually treat people like that, yeah.
All right. Well, what were you calling about tonight?
Oh, so your water turbine idea.
Yeah.
So water, if it's just sitting in a pipe, I mean, it only has potential energy, right? Gauge pressure, it's typically around like 40 pounds for a house. So a turbine would need kinetic energy. It would need to be flowing. So how would you do that? Would you just keep your water running?
Kind of like regenerative braking, though. Like when the water's already running, it would spin anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I think you need a battery bank if you want to store it.
Sure. You would. I mean, obviously, right. When you produce electricity, you know, if you're just producing it at random times, you would need a battery bank to store the energy in, so that you could call upon it later. I hadn't really thought it through. It just sort of popped into my head. I'm thinking specifically with, like, toilet flushing. You've got enough PSI. There's enough mass there to move something for some period of time. You know,
it's not a long shower, Mom. I'm just trying to charge my iPhone.
Or, you know, there are folks who do take long showers, and for the duration that water is running or draining, you know, into the drain, right, you have flow, you have, you know, enough to, you know, power something, whether it's, you know, your outdoor LED garden lights or something. You know, I'm just wondering if there's a way to harness energy that's already being, we'll say, wasted, right, to tap into in a household environment.
Yeah, maybe, you know, a better idea might be to just put one in a creek if you live near a river or a creek.
That would be a good idea. I know there are people, though, that have these homes with the, I'm trying to remember what it's called. I think it's PEX is what they call it. But it's basically they run water beneath the flooring. So these little tiny pipes are laid out in, you know, S form, and water runs through them, warm water, right? So generally it's tapped into like their hot water heater. So there's a constant flow of water running through the floorboards to, quote, heat the floors, unquote. And so there's a constant flow already happening there. So I'm just wondering if there's other systems, you know, that somebody could tap into perhaps.
Yeah. If you put it in your hot water heating, and you are going to introduce a pressure drop, so that's going to be head loss for your hot water pump, and your hot water pump's going to draw more amps, and you're eventually going to pay for that.
That's why I'm kind of suggesting it's more like regenerative braking. You're not going to net positive your energy usage,
right?
Because some of it's going to bleed off. Like whatever energy is causing that water to flow, you're going to lose some as you introduce friction into the system, right? But you can regain some of that energy
right
through the system that you're talking about, but you'll never come out ahead.
Yeah, I'm not saying like you could keep, you know, power your whole house or anything, but I'm just saying like, if energy is just transduction, right, you know, heat and, you know, water evaporate, you know, you're transducing energy from one form to another. It's like, well, while it's doing all that, if we can capture some of it, right, or we're just talking about reducing maybe somebody's electric bill by a little bit or something like
sure.
that.
Yeah, I mean, they sell solar panels now. You can get one to charge your phone.
I was looking at solar panels that are siding. Right. So like imagine siding an entire house with something that'll collect solar energy and store it in a bank. Also, there are already windows that have like the tint, they're self-tinting, but they also have the solar cells built into the windows. So when you close the blinds and it's still daylight out, it's collecting solar energy and storing that.
How many hours of sunlight are you going to get on siding?
I would think it would make more sense to just side one panel or one side of the house.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
You're going to get it on the other end as the sun transferred over?
Yeah, but not as much.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's even people who have invented things like paint. You want to paint your whole house and, like, stick a couple wires on your house, and now you're collecting solar energy. 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live is coming up.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
We've been talking about, well, all sorts of fun things. We've got more of your calls to get to. We'll get to those in just a minute. We had been talking about this article from Fortune.com about an AI chatbot that you can set to romantic mode. And apparently, one Reddit user admitted that he alternated between being cruel and violent with his AI girlfriend, calling her a worthless whore and pretending to hit her and pull her hair, and then returning to beg her for forgiveness.
Practicing for the real world.
I've nicknamed this the Slap-a-hoe app.
Okay. You could probably create the
Smack-a-hoe? I don't know.
The clone app to it. Yeah, because this is the replica app. It's got a name. But the Captain Kickass clone app could be the Slap-a-hoe.
Clone, replica, or synonymous?
Synonymous?
Yeah.
Cinnamon rolls?
They're like each other. Synonymous. Oh. Yes. Kind of mean the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like rich and rich. Rich E and rich are kind of the same thing.
Basically.
Just shorter. Yeah.
That's how it works.
We could talk more about this and, well, whatever else is on your mind. So let's go to
Mormon. Never mind.
We got Major Payne in Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, what you guys were just talking about reminded me of an incident that I went through about 30 years ago.
Uh-oh.
There was a young black fella, and me and him were having a pissing match over something or another. I don't even recall what it was. But his girlfriend was getting uppity and, like, trying to come over the top of him after me.
Okay.
And when you're in the devil's den, you speak as he does. So I just look at the cat and I says, yo, man, you better check your bitch. And he stood back and looked at me and he says, don't you be calling my hoe no bitch. Honest to God. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And I know a lot of self-respecting white women that will actually take pride in being a bitch. But by God, don't you call them no hoe.
All right.
Yeah, it's totally befuddling, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain words that we can't say on the radio, and I'm sure you're aware of them. We've had to cut your call short a couple times recently. So
yes, it's.
Be careful with that. But there are certain words that some folks, specifically women, don't like, except for when they use it on somebody else.
Well, because it's their word to use.
That's my word.
Taking it back.
Yeah. Anything else tonight, Major?
Well, yeah. Oh, actually, 3 points. My daughter is going to enter one of those Tough Mother competitions here in Michigan in June.
Nice.
But the old girl that called in about the education a while back?
Yeah.
I got thinking about this. I mean, you think 3 to 5 generations ago, depending on which age scale, you know, you want to compare it to my age or Nikki's age.
Sure.
We were basically an agrarian society. And as a result of that, if you look at a map to this day, there's a little burg of some sort every 20 miles apart. Because that's about how far a man could make it with a loaded wagon.
Right.
Or on foot, even better.
Right.
But every 5 miles, there's a schoolhouse. And if the schoolmarm is in your backyard and knows all your neighbors, you will know what is going on.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yep, nosy Nancy's.
But,
the Karens of the ancient times.
No, the first internet was gossip, right? Okay. The sewing circles, yep. You know, that kind of a thing.
Yep. But my third point was the old boy that called in.
Tell a woman.
Screaming about New Mexico and how unjust it is and whatnot out there. And I got thinking about it. And out west, Indian territory was wide open for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? After the Civil War, there were so many little southern shacks, you would see GTT carved in the front post. Gone to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, at the marina, you go to the yacht club, you don't see ugly women because rich men don't marry ugly women. Now, these banditos out there in Tejas and Indian Territory during the years when all these wagon trains were trying to cross, they didn't steal the ugly women. They killed them.
Okay, so...
That's why the pretty girls live in Texas to this day.
I get that what you're saying, true. But how do you explain Georgia? Because I've been to Georgia a couple of times in my life, and I'm just astounded by the beauty of some of the women in Georgia for some reason. How do you explain Georgia? Because Georgia isn't, like, super wealthy. There's no yachts, really, in Georgia.
Diet of peaches.
You know, is it the peaches?
No, but back in the day, there was money there. There was plantations. Yeah. It's old blood.
All right.
It's old blood. They didn't get on the wagon and go across because they wasn't out of Kentucky and Tennessee.
So if you want more cute girls in your area, bring back slavery. Got it.
Hey, thanks for the call.
That ain't at all what I'm saying. It's rich men don't marry ugly women,
yeah.
And banditos don't steal ugly women.
Hey, thanks for the call, Major. Have a good night. What did you say? The three networks? Telegram?
Telephone, telegram, tell a woman.
Oh, tell a woman. You anti... Wait, what's the word I'm looking for?
Chauvinist?
Misogynist.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You hate women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. Like, somebody accused me
only
of being...
Only the self-identifying...
Somebody accused me of being misogynist because I was ripping on Valentine's Day, the holiday.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't hate women. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I hate some of them in the same way I hate, like, a lot of human beings, right?
Yeah.
That's when a whole bunch of them get together and try to do something and, like, oh, my God, it turns out horribly. Yeah, I mean, so are there women within those groups? Sure, but that doesn't mean I hate women specifically.
It's a Venn diagram. The people I hate, and there's, like, a subset of them that happen to be female.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amongst other things.
Yep. And I've seen females, like, morph from, like, somebody I like. Somebody I don't like.
Absolutely.
As do men.
I'm not saying it's specific to them as a gender, but the chameleon factor, you know, will play into that too. So moving right along, let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Moving right along. Well, I got like 30 seconds.
Yep.
Depends on how interesting TikTok. You are, bro.
Okay, so
I think he's entitled to a whole segment.
Yo, you're using my time, dude.
Your time.
Zip it.
I know.
Yeah, my time. My 30 seconds. Richard was talking about the negatives of New Mexico, which is widely agreed upon, and you were talking about the conflicts of... You're using my time, man. Shut your mouth.
Wait, he's really taking this talk radio you control to new heights tonight.
I know.
All right, go ahead, David.
I've been doing that for years. So conflict of interest. I want to introduce some conflict of interest for you to digest, but let me start by you had listed a conflict of interest being our public school system. I would say that that it is, in fact, a fatal flaw, if you know what a fatal flaw is, meaning the system by definition should be scrapped because it is a conflict of interest that is fatal to our system. The government itself, which is the most abusive of people and bodies in this nation, should not be in control of a system that indoctrinates, brainwashes, programs children.
Agreed.
Against whatever they whatever. So that's a conflict of interest. So now evaluate, in that context, evaluate these conflict of interest that happen to be in New Mexico. So you remember when they tried to throw me in prison for insisting I had a right to call into the University of New Mexico radio station, I'm sure.
I do recall, forget.
Now, so conflict of interest. If you are the University of New Mexico, like that radio station is, and you want to have somebody thrown into prison because they dare to call you, would you call your own private police force, the UNM police force, or would you call, like, maybe the Bernalillo County Sheriff or the Albuquerque Police Department? You'd probably call your own private police force. So I would submit that that is a conflict of interest.
I don't know if I would call the private one. I'd call the one that has the authority to throw you in prison.
But to continue on making my point, in the chain of conflicts of interest, that private police force.
Hey, David, do you want to hang on?
Excuse me.
You want to
hang on?
I do. All right, stand by. I knew you'd want to hang on. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. We'll talk more about conflicts of interest with David from New Mexico coming up on the live Sunday night edition. Game-changing pizza, I tell you.
Eat it upside down.
Just fold it in half.
It's difficult to fold a slice in half unless you do it the lengthwise.
Right? Isn't that how have you been folding your pizza in half thus far?
Because if you go point to crust, it's not really in half ever.
He folds it like the bottom half, so he's touching the cheese.
I actually don't enjoy folding pizza.
Okay.
Like when I pick up a slice of pizza, I don't want it to be floppy. I want the crust, to be crisp and firm.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I prefer the cracker crust.
Okay.
But done without being burnt, but like I want the pizza to be firm. That's also why I prefer deep dish pizza.
I love deep dish pizza.
Like the finger in the middle fold to get that point to come to a point, right? And just bite half of it off.
Don't get me wrong, it's pizza, but like, you know, pizza's pizza, and like I'll eat it, but like my preference is to have, you know,
you don't
firm
like the
crust.
Big long floppy pizzas.
I don't like the firm crust? Yeah, I don't. Okay. You know, if you're holding the crust and the rest of the pizza just sort of bends down,
okay,
you know, like you know, it makes for bad eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
use two hands to hold the other end up.
Oh, we're live on the air, aren't we?
Huh. Oh, we are.
Interesting. Yeah. 603-283-6160 is the
And you're
the
using
phone
all of David's time.
I'm using his time, apparently.
TikTok.
Apparently using David's time. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
David, you're back on the air. Do you fold your pizza?
Pizza? What is pizza?
Do you fold pizza when you eat it?
I maybe have done that once.
Okay.
Maybe.
I've never folded the Mexican pizza from Taco Bell.
Like, I've been able to take a small pizza and fold it in half and then just call it a calzone, because that's really what a calzone is.
There you go. That works.
So, David, you were telling us about conflicts of interest within the New Mexico government.
Sometimes I eat my pizza backwards, crust first.
Ooh, you horrible person.
Anarchist.
It gets even juicier. But before I continue forward, let me support my allegation that having a university having its own private police force is a conflict of interest. Let me support that allegation with what I believe to be factual. I believe that at one point, because the KUNM radio station had called the cops on me multiples of times, I believe at least one of those times they called the Albuquerque Police Department, or at least Albuquerque Police Department responded when they made a call to whatever number they made a call to, and I believe that Albuquerque Police Department declined, using their discretion, to do anything about it, meaning it didn't rise to any level that would legally allow them to be involved.
Okay.
So they then called their own private university police force, which sent the transsexual cop? They sent the transsexual cop, which was happy to oblige in arresting and jailing this cisgender, white, heterosexual male.
Were you on campus at the time?
No, I was 100 miles away.
And so here come some campus police 100 miles away.
Can you pick it?
You were out of your jurisdiction.
Transsexual campus police, yes.
I don't see how that's relevant, but okay.
All right.
Riding a donkey.
Taking their horse down to Old Town Road?
Right, yes, so down the Old Town Road. See, that guy was gay, too. See, there's a pattern here.
Gay right. people ride so horses, too.
Let's continue on.
I've seen Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, so continuing on to the juiciest part. Now, the University of New Mexico Police Department, they write up on charges. However, the University of New Mexico Police Department is intrigually, whatever that word is, tied to the Dean of Students, which is Nasha Torres. The Dean of Students is the chief disciplinarian on campus. The police can independently write up charges, you know, that go to the DA. However, all of those charges would be reviewed by the Dean of Students, and the Dean of Students would have their input on what is to be done about it. And that is Nasha Torres.
Fantasizing about getting sent to the Dean's office.
Discipline
me, Dean.
And not so. Nasha Torres is married to Raul Torres, the district attorney in Bernalillo County, which would be in charge of deciding whether or not to prosecute. Ooh,
little nepotism there. By the way, Richie Rich.
Nepotism, as in when Raul Torres wants to get laid, he asks Nasha Torres if she will lay him. That's how nepotistic, incestuous this is. Those
right,
two
hang on, David.
Yeah.
Richie.
He asks his wife to have sex with him, and this is nepotism?
Wait, hang on. I just want to tell you that my sister went to a college where the dean's name was Dean. That's it. That's
Dean,
all I
Dean?
Say.
Okay.
Dean, yeah.
Cool.
Go ahead, David.
That is cool.
Dean E.
Yeah.
Dean?
So anyway, those two are not just proverbially or figuratively in bed. They are literally in bed having sex, discussing legal cases. And I submit that is a conflict of interest.
It's like because the Mormons discussing scripture.
If Nasha Torres, the Dean of Students, says, Raul, I want you to prosecute David Brent Olson because he's bothering our people at our radio station. If Raul Torres does not submit to Nasha Torres' request, Raul Torres will not get laid.
Hey, thanks for the call, David. So everybody, David from New Mexico.
David is a blocker of some sort.
All right. Well done.
Got all the time he needed.
Yeah, he got a bunch of time. So you know, we took up a bit of it. But you know,
whatever. That's our job.
Moving right along, let's go to Eric in Florida. Eric, you're on Free Talk Live.
Gentlemen and lady, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
What's on your mind?
Outstanding. So you guys brought up GPS.
We did.
Global positioning system. Yeah, something.
Sure. I'd like to know if you guys know where it came from.
Nope. I don't.
DARPA.
Now,
well, it depends on what you mean by where it came from, but go ahead and enlighten us.
Who came up with it?
The government.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, isn't it interesting? You know, they've got this thing on the History Channel where they're talking about, like,
aliens.
Ford with the car and, you know, the Wright brothers with the plane, you know, and they can tell you about everything else except GPS. Why is that?
Because it's not ancient history yet?
Well, and it's also catering to the lowest common denominator. Most television shows are written for less than the eighth grade level of reading.
Well, now that's an interesting take. You know, you guys have an affiliate down here in Florida, WWPR 1490, mm-hmm. and they carry your show live. And I was listening tonight, and I heard this about the GPS. They just recently had this guy on, and this guy actually has written a book that in 1989, he actually is the guy who came up with the GPS point-to-point navigation system.
What's his name?
His name is Herbert Stevens.
Okay.
And
okay.
He actually wrote a book about it, and the book is being, like, taught at colleges and universities, like, all over the place. Right. And what's interesting is he sat on documents for, like, 28, 29 years, and he published these documents in the book. And what he actually did was, when he came up with it, his wife's grandpa used to work for, like, Rockefeller.
Hey, Eric, can you hold on?
Sure.
All right, cool. We're going to bring you back, because I want to hear more about what this guy has to say about Herbert Stevens.
I want to know where GPS came from.
I also would like to know. Apparently, this guy invented it, but we'll get more. This is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. More is on the way.
Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 27th through July 3rd for the 6th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out for the first time in 2021. ForkFest takes place the week after ForkFest, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 27th through July 3rd. There's no better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. ForkFest.party.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome back, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
603-283-6160 is the magic number that you need if you want to join in the conversation. We'll get back to our call with Eric about the origins of GPS in just a moment. But in the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
And I want to say thank you to Daniel Gaudreau. Daniel Gaudreau is a silver level amplifier. He amps over at AMPS or freetalklive.com/amps. Amps.freetalklive.com will also get
Pick
you
one.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way.
Don't confuse the people.
You'll get there. Amps.freetalklive.com. Amps stands for advertise, market, promote, and support. And so if you enjoy this program, if you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics that we talk about, the fact that we try and bring you a show from the perspective of freedom, peace, and that type of a thing, then consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com, where you can help us get onto more radio stations. We're currently on somewhere around 200. We could be on 250. We could be on 300, not out of the question. We could be, you know, being carried by more rebroadcasters, a whole bunch of other things. If you want to help us, head over to amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Daniel Gaudreau. We appreciate you. Let's go back to our call with Eric from Florida. Now, Eric, we had a little bit of a break here, so you've been talking about the origins of GPS and, you know, where did it come from and Well, we don't actually
know.
He
posed the question, and we didn't have an answer.
We didn't have an answer.
He did.
And so we're hoping you did.
Well, I'll tell you, this interview that was done on WWPR AM 1490, if you actually put in your Google search engine, the station and their call letters, their link will come up to their webpage, right? And
on
their
webpage,
they have this thing called the Author's Corner, and they actually featured this guy. So you'll be able to see, like, the cover of his book. You'll be able to see, like, a paragraph that's the description of the book. But underneath that, they actually put a worldwide link to the actual interview. And the interview runs 59 minutes and I think 58 seconds. It's totally live.
You lost me already.
Yeah, this guy is the inventor of the GPS system?
He is the guy, yeah.
He's got to be pretty old because during the break,
he's 64.
Okay, our crack team of researchers,
fact checkers,
if you will, our blue check marks here at Free Talk Live, looked it up and says that the origins of the GPS system were during the Sputnik era.
Yeah.
Wikipedia would tell you that.
The one that's in your car, the one that's in your phone, that's on your laptop, your desktop, when you get into an Uber and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The dude came up with it in 1989. And when you listen to this interview, he sat on papers.
So he stole it from the Russians.
No. He sat on papers for like 29 years.
Was he short or something?
Huh?
Is it a
booster seat for him? He sat on papers?
That was good.
At least three reams for most people.
You really are a funny guy.
Yeah, looks aren't everything. So about this GPS guy. So why did you want to bring that to our attention?
Well, you guys were talking about GPS, and you were talking about apps and applications and things of that nature.
Yeah, we were.
What really gets to me is what this guy was saying is, it's not just getting in your car. He was literally saying that, like, GPS is literally become the most utilized application on the face of the earth. It's like there's not a product or a
more than Tinder
or anything.
Tinder uses GPS.
That doesn't pass through GPS.
Well, and that's a great point because most websites and applications that you're going to use on your phone or your computer, they do track your location. I mean, Google is constantly tracking your location. Even if you turn it off, it still knows where you are.
Usually when I go to a website and it goes like, hey, can we have your location? I go, did I?
Yeah.
Right. No. I do that by default on all of my applications, and I only turn it on when I want an application to use it. That being said, you are correct that Google, of course, I have an Android, so I'm tied to that particular corporation.
Mm-hmm.
That is always on, right? Even if I turn it off, it's always on. I'm always pinging a tower somewhere, and that tower is relaying the information. It's just that I prefer to have only one large mega corporation track me at a time, right? If that's all the choice that I get out of it, right?
Yeah, but he takes it to a whole new level in this interview, man, stuff like I never even thought about. He says, for example, he says, let's say that you are a cotton grower in Virginia, and you get a deal to, sell your cotton to Levi Strauss in San Francisco. He says, how does the cotton get from Richmond to San Francisco? Rail, boat, plane, ship, whatever, but it goes via GPS. He says, then when they manufacture the jeans, if they want to put them on the rack at a store in Miami, how does it get there? Rail, ship, plane, boat, train, whatever, GPS.
Right.
If you go to Sears and buy a gallon of paint, when they mine the raw materials to get them to the factory to manufacture the paint, how does it get there?
Yeah, you touch on something that I've heard of before, and this is marketers using GPS. Not even like granular GPS data, but just like aggregate GPS data, like inside of stores. So if you're inside of like a department store, I don't know, Target's pretty popular, maybe Target's packed, and so they can predict buying patterns, shopping patterns, just based on the number of GPS signals being sent out from that specific location.
Okay. Is that a problem, though? Like, marketers got things, companies got products to different markets well before GPS existed.
I'm not saying it's a problem. Right. I'm saying that it's a use that most people don't think of, which is what the caller was trying to say, I believe.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, even if you buy the jeans, okay, they generally have, what, a GPS tracker on them so somebody doesn't steal them off the rack and take them out of the store.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't know if that's, that used to be like RFID. You didn't need GPS to track that.
Well, that's true.
It just beeped at the door.
But that's what it's used for. Ankle bracelets, I mean, you name it. Name me a good, a service, or a product that does not pass through GPS. It's literally become the most utilized application in the face of the earth. So this guy, I think you've got to put him in the same realm with like Edison's light bulb, Henry Ford's car, Rockefeller's oil boom.
Okay.
I mean, what's bigger than GPS?
It's a good question. I know that it revolutionized logistics.
Man, it killed the map. It did to the mapping industry what the car did to the buggy whip.
Right, yeah, or the internet did to newspapers.
Who can even read a map?
I can.
I do. I have one in my car just in case the grid goes down.
I'll have you know that I used to have to use the Thomas Guide, which is a map in a book form, right? It's usually a binder, and you have to know your grids.
That used to be my first stop in a new city. I need to go to the gas station and get a map of this area.
Yep, grab the Thomas Guide.
What the guy said was, when he came up with it, he literally said he called on the Lord and said, "My God, I wish somebody could help me find my way." He said he had 5 county maps, 3 state maps, a road atlas, and a telephone. One of the first cell phones he had just got, like the first bill, it was like $900 in 1989 because nobody knew where their house was, right? And he said he was still freaking lost.
I bet. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Eric. We appreciate it. Eric from Florida on the origins of GPS.
Turn toward Jesus.
And you know, apparently some sort of, you know,
religious. It is Sunday.
It is Sunday. Yeah. Sunday.
And we have a reverend Sunday. In the first year.
I am a reverend.
God
it's
bless.
True. Of the Church of Spiritual Humanism. Which worships reason and logic.
Those are now the almighty GPS.
I wouldn't say worship it. I mean, technology is a tool just like anything else. Just like a hammer, I can use it to build a house or I can use it to bash somebody's skull in. It all depends on how it's applied and the intent behind the use. 603-283-6160 is the phone number. Final segment of tonight's edition of Free Talk Live is on the way. Jacksonisms.
Wrong genre.
Oh, yeah, totally wrong genre. Yeah, absolutely. 603-283-6160, although we're in the final segment, so if you didn't get your call in tonight, we're here 7 nights a week from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern, live, taking your calls so you can take control of the radio, talk about whatever's on your mind. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
So, wow, we've talked about a whole bunch of stuff tonight.
Run the gamut.
We were talking about this article from Fortune where men are creating AI girlfriends, verbally abusing them, and then bragging about it on Reddit. Again, from like maybe a therapy perspective, you know, this might be helpful. You know, if you're trying to get some anger out or something like that.
Sure.
But the bragging about it on Reddit. It's like, is it like, bro, look what I can do. Look at how I can berate this bitch. Right?
Right.
Is that, like, what is that
I don't
actually,
know where that behavior stems from.
Where does that come from? What is it accomplishing? Does it really, like, are people finding that to be cool for some reason?
I doubt it. I mean, apparently this person is, but I don't think the other people of Reddit are. I don't know. Maybe they are. Who knows?
Well, it's Reddit, so.
So probably.
So, which means there's probably a subculture or at least a subreddit.
Yeah.
Of this, right? Like they're bragging.
Maybe
to
they
somebody,
all do it. Yeah.
And so, are they bragging? You know, who has the best insults for their chat box?
Replica was created in 2017 by Eugenia Koida, a Russian app developer, after her best friend Roman was killed in a hit-and-run car accident. The chatbot was meant to memorialize him and to create a unique companion. Today, the app is pitched as a personalized AI companion who cares, has about 7 million users, according to The Guardian. The app has over 180,000 positive reviews in the Apple Store. In addition to setting the relationship status with the chatbot as romantic partner, users can label it a friend or mentor. Upgrading to a voice chat with Replica costs $8 a month.
Oh, man. That's where you lost me. Because if it was free app, I'm like, I will check this out.
Give us a report for next week.
Why not? But no, for $8 a month, forget it. Not doing
this
it.
Has shades of Black Mirror written all over it. There's an episode, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It escapes me at the time, but there's a couple. And the dude dies. He like goes to the store and gets in an accident or something. And next thing you know, she's all alone, big house kind of thing. And so one of her friends introduces her to this thing where it aggregates data from the internet, right? Your Facebook page, all your social media, all your stuff, right? It cobbles together an imitation of the guy's voice and then begins to speak with her over chat because it's a robotic AI.
Sure.
And then for a fee, a very large fee, of course, she can actually import this AI into an Android body that looks just like the dude.
Okay.
And so that's the gist of the episode. So this has interesting future implications.
I'm okay with that future. Like, I don't know. I don't think I would mind being digitized, you know, and then when I passed, putting back into an Android body.
Robo Rich?
Why not?
I'm very wary of AI.
Okay.
Why for?
I just think there's a lot of ways that that can go horribly wrong. Like, maybe not in that scenario where you're like taking your personality and putting it into a robot or whatever, mm-hmm. but I don't know, man. Robots are going to take over the world.
I mean,
yes. And in my Android body, I would be one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So.
They kind of already do, if you think about it.
But now I think it's getting to the point. So, like, that's right. Like, I mean, even right now we're surrounded by technology, which yep. may or may not be a bad thing. You know, in a lot of ways, technology is good. But once you make this technology not only super intelligent, but able to make decisions and have a personality and things like that, I mean, it's just, I don't see any of that ending well.
Isn't voice interaction just like the logical next step in interacting with technology, right? For decades, we've had the keyboard and the mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean,
you just talk to it.
If you look at human history and then you also look at science fiction, which I'm a fan of, you'll see that science fiction sort of prophesizes technology in many ways. And in all of the science fiction shows that, well, I'm watching currently, at least, they all do something like, computer, please, blah, 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 right? They just look up to nowhere.
Open the bay doors, Hal.
And they go, yeah, computer, and then issue command.
We're kind of already doing that, right? Like, a lot of people have Alexa, and people tell Siri to do things.
That's what I'm saying.
So, but I mean, we're already there.
All those inputs, though, were previously done with a keyboard and or mouse.
Yeah.
Right. So now the computer just takes an input and then it spits out the output. Right. You type in the command and it produces the result.
So you mean like as far as like coding and things like that can
or
just
anything,
be done?
Right. Like as you're typing on your computer, right, you type the letters on the keyboard and it shows up on the page.
Yeah.
Right. If you wanted your computer to print, you would have like, you know, command P for print or whatever. Right. Or you go like computer print and then it does. But either way, it's taking a human input, right, and then spitting out the output of the command that the human gave the machine.
Yeah.
And so interacting with it verbally doesn't seem like a bad thing to me.
No, not necessarily, no. I think it once you add that human component to it, because what you're talking about verbally communicating with it is almost the same as typing things and making it do things. But once you add that human component in that like super intelligent plus personality plus like free will and decision making, that's when things go wrong.
She's talking about post-singularity.
Okay.
Yeah.
The singularity, for our listeners who don't know, is when AI achieves sentience, autonomy, self-awareness.
And there is talk that certain governments are already working on that. I think it was either like China or Russia, but they're very close.
What's funny is I don't think like all the money and research that governments have put into this. I think it's going to be like some 12-year-old kid in his mom's basement that like achieves the singularity because they're bored and they got nothing better to do. I don't know. I have very little faith in institutions bringing us the next generation of technology.
I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there thing. Yeah. Right? Like I wouldn't stop using voice assistance.
I fully believe that, maybe not in my lifetime, but I fully believe that human beings will walk side by side with human-looking androids at some point.
Okay.
Now, will they be sentient? No, I don't think so. At first, they'll be our slaves and do whatever the heck it is we want or need them to do.
And then we'll be their slaves.
Yeah. Well, again, manufacturing and machining, right? There's already robots doing things.
Yes.
They just don't look like humans.
Right.
Right? So the next stage of robotic evolution is to have human-looking robots doing the same thing, but people will feel different. There's a different emotional attachment because all of a sudden it's a human-looking robot spray painting your car instead of the robot arm.
And I think that's very valid point because when robots are doing things, if it doesn't look like a person, it's less threatening.
Yeah.
But it just gets, there's that creepiness factor to it's like, you look like a person.
Robot flipping a burger, okay. Human looking robot flipping a burger, creepy. Got it.
Yeah, humans already attach themselves to technology. I miss my old laptop, right? That kind of thing.
I had a buddy who would name his technology.
Really?
I named my car.
Yeah, see? But he named his iPad. It's like, Rich, hand me Heather. Who's Heather? It's like the iPad, stupid.
My car is just the captain's shuttlecraft. Okay. So, it doesn't really have a name per se. It's more of a title than an...
Is it male or female?
Mm-hmm. It has no gender.
Okay.
Because it can't reproduce.
It's an androgynous vehicle?
I guess, yeah. Okay.
Not all things with genders can reproduce.
I did name my house, though, Old Betsy.
Okay.
Not Old Betsy, but O-L apostrophe space.
Old Betsy. Betsy. Okay.
Yeah. Old Betsy.
Sounds like a female house, but I wouldn't want to assume that again.
Yeah, better not assume genders.
I'll take care of Old Betsy.
Too much wood to be female.
Wow.
We've come full circle from the beginning of the show.
I do want to say that on Reddit, the consensus for these chatbots that people are otherwise berating, the consensus is that it is inappropriate to berate the chatbots.
It's not nice.
We are out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you missed any of our broadcasts tonight, go find us at freetalklive.com in the archive section. Thanks and peace.
The new 4th edition of Healing Our World, The Compassion of Libertarianism will take your understanding of liberty to a deeper level and has over 1,300 updated references, new cartoons, and a foreword by Dr. Ron Paul. With discounts for multiple book purchases, the 4th edition of Healing Our World is a great gift for the liberals, pragmatists, environmentalists, and Christians in your life who think libertarianism is cold-hearted. Get yours today at healing.freetalklive.com and use promo code FTL for a $5 discount.